Phyllis. Ru Norton. Ru Lou. Six. Phyllis. Ru. Phyllis. Six. Ru. Up. Up. Ru. Phyllis. I. I. Phyllis. Sieben. Eins. Eins. Drei. Eins. Eins. Drei. Null. Vier. Sechs. Acht. Sechs. Trennung. Eins. Sechs. Wo. Eins. Neun. Vier. Sieben. Trennung. Wo. Wo. Fünf. Sechs. Fünf. Wo. Null. Trennung. Wo. Vier. Vier. Neun. Sechs. Sechs. Neun. Trennung. Wo. Sieben. Sechs.
We'll be right back. Welcome to the Insomnia Stream. War Between Races Edition. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. It's Easter weekend. Easter weekend, and I guess it's Easter in just a couple of hours. It'll probably turn Easter while we're doing this. And also Hitler's birthday, of course. Doesn't always happen on the same day. But this year it does. Yeah. And so there's that. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a good week. Good weekend. Able to spend this time with your family. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't have quite the fanfare that Christmas does, right? Like, I don't even know. Do people even do Easter dinner? I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess when I was a kid, we had Easter dinner, sort of. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like Christmas or even really like Thanksgiving. It was more, in fact, it was more like Easter breakfast. I feel like we had the Easter egg hunt kind of a thing sometimes. Sometimes my parents phoned it in and we didn't do that. And then we had Easter baskets full of garbage candy, chocolate bunnies. I hear this is the first year. I don't know if this is correct, though. Someone told me that this is the first year Cadbury switched from calling them Easter eggs to just eggs. I don't know if that's correct or not. But anyway, we had the Cadbury eggs. Peeps. Peeps seems like a big thing on the East Coast or something. They're terrible. I don't know why anyone want them. It's like the worst kind of marshmallow. It's like not even like the good kind of marshmallow. And I feel like the ones they don't sell the year before, they sell the next year. So they're potentially years old marshmallows. And they're like the kind of marshmallows that like somehow are like harder than rocks, covered in sugar. It's just bad stuff. Bad stuff. Makes you wonder, like, what did we, you know, because the modern candy, it's relatively new. Like, what did we do before we're like, hey, kids, eat all this trash. Hey, we're going to celebrate Easter. Have a basket of trash. A basket of trash that confusingly was left here by a 6-foot-tall bunny. To celebrate Jesus. I don't know. None of it makes any sense. Oh, did I mention the bunny lays eggs? I know. That doesn't make sense either. And we're going to paint them. I hated hard-boiled eggs. I love hard-boiled eggs now. But when I was a kid, just the smell of it, I was, ugh. It made me want to throw up. But we did paint the eggs. Remember the little egg dipper? It's like a spoon made out of wire. Do you ever get like those cheap little kits or like they gave you like the crayon? Like that you would write on, you couldn't see what you were, it was like magic, right? You get a crayon and you write on the egg with the magic clear crayon. And then you dip it in like the watercolor garbage, and then it's, you can see what you wrote on the, it's like, man, I don't know. Am I the only one that did that? And then we had, what's the stupid Easter candy? Cadbury, that was the good stuff. Cadbury egg, that was the good stuff. And then when you got the chocolate bunny, you're always, you know, you're always like, I wonder, When I break this ear off, is it going to be one of those cheap hollow bunnies? Like, did the Easter bunny go cheap this year? Or is it going to be solid fucking chocolate ear? It's like, actually, my little kid hands, it's like, it's so thick. My little kid hands can't even, like, it's like a struggle to break that fucking ear off. Mmm. Delicious diabetes. Little, and then they have, like, the candy eggs. They're basically Whoppers. Whoppers in the shape of eggs. Those were good. Jelly beans. I don't know. Never much of a jelly bean guy. Jelly beans, that's also, like, it's like the candy corns of Easter. Jelly beans. Also doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess they're kind of egg-shaped, but they don't call them, you know, jelly eggs. They call them jelly beans. So that just further confuses the child mind that there's somehow this rabbit that's very fond of plastic grass and candy beans and boiled eggs, and just none of it makes any sense. So glad that that part of my life is over, that confusion. I have to sit there contemplating that for, because you know I did. Just my little kid brain sitting in the pews at church, just like, ah, and then there's like a bunny and the basket. Even the basket doesn't make any sense. And why are all the baskets made in China? Does the Easter bunny live in China? Anyway. On a lighter note, there's a race war brewing. Not really. I mean, it'd be nice, right? Sometimes I feel like it'd be nice. I don't know. I mean, the problem is people think that Negro fatigue is something new. They feel like that this is something new, that basically, now, oh, white people are finally coming around. They're finally coming around. They're going to grow a pair, right? They're going to see what's going on with, you know, all this behavior, the behavior of these blacks in their support of a obvious murderer and the celebration of the murder of a white teenager. It's not new. This happens every so often. This is just the congratulations. You live in a multiracial society that includes black people. And this is just one of the bonuses, just like the riots, right? You know, the people think that, oh, these BLM riots were crazy. Well, not really. I mean, every 5 to 10 years, you get at least one of these, you know, that's part of the package. That's part of the package deal. Right? If you have blacks in your society, you just get riots. It's, you know, a little bonus. And I guess that's what it takes. You know, it has to be long enough for people to think it's something new again. Because I guess blacks know if they were to always be doing that, eventually, then yeah, maybe white people would be like, all right, this is getting to be enough. Although, you look at the 60s, and it pretty much was like that all the time, and they didn't, if anything, they got everything they wanted. And it's kind of funny, right? We did the stream about Tawana Brawley and Al Sharpton. And what do we see? What do we see this week? It's like a new Al Sharpton. See, that happens too, right? The family advocate for the murder family. You know, it's this new, just the, you know, it's just the new Al Sharpton, because that's not new either. That just happens. Oh, there's an opportunity for black people to stand on a soapbox and be angry at white people and maybe get a bunch of money sent to them over some bullshit case. Oh, those are the conditions that they happen. It just, that always happens. But those are the conditions that a new Al Sharpton is born. Every time it's like every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Well, every time a falsely proclaimed innocent black person is in the national media, this new Al Sharpton is born to sit there and take advantage of it and to cash in and to blame white people for everything. Anyway, to show you that this is nothing really new, I thought we'd go over something tonight that is, sadly, it's going to have a lot of parallels to a stream we did fairly recently, because it's another thing that's not new, something that's very repetitive, unfortunately, is the propaganda and social experiments that led, or not led to, but like contributed to where we are today. People want to know why are whites so beaten down? Why are whites so browbeaten and they have no racial solidarity whatsoever? There's something innate in white people that makes them hate themselves. Not really. I think that people really underestimate the amount of propaganda and the amount of social engineering that took place between, you could say the late 1800s, when segregation was voted on by the Supreme Court and upheld. You know, that was, what year was that? Like 1892, I think it was. And yeah, the Plessy, or no, 1896, Plessy versus Ferguson. I mean, white people had a sense of themselves then. The Supreme Court said that, yeah, you know, separate but equal. That's actually, that makes sense. And to get from there, because it's not like we didn't evolve. We didn't, white people didn't biologically change between 1896 and 1996. So what exactly happened? Yeah, it's almost as if something happened around the turn of the century. It's almost as if, I don't know, a flood of Eastern European Jews came to America around the turn of the century and immediately started psyoping all white people into hating themselves for a century. I don't know. Call me crazy. Another repetitive theme in our stream tonight, you know, unfortunately. But it's almost as if something like that happened, like around the turn of the century, and it's going to take a lot of time to undo that sort of thing. But again, to show you that this is nothing new, and to show you that the fatigue is not new, because that's another thing people are starting to talk about. They're saying things like, even the most normal white guy is starting to get tired of this bullshit from the blacks. And it's like, well, that's not new either. It's just not. It's just that solutions, I guess, what would be the new thing. Because there haven't been any solutions seriously proposed or acted on from the white people. Because the solutions that made sense to them, especially post-World War II, were all things that would actually make the problem worse and would actually give them less power and less ability to ever act on any kind of solution in the future. But anyway, tonight we're going to talk about not just a propaganda piece, but what inspired it. It was produced by the Learning Corporation of America. The Learning Corporation of America, which was run by a little goblin Jew by the name of Bert Salzman. Bert Salzman, oh yeah, he was very well respected in Hollywood. In fact, he won an Emmy for part of what we're going to take a look at, but he was also an Oscar winner. And it's probably part of what got him his job. But, I was in researching him. I found his acceptance speech from 1976. Hilariously, my stupid thing's not behaving. There we go. Let me fix that. Hilariously, the O.J. Simpson. would you look at that? O.J. Simpson is the one that gave him his award in 1976. You know, pre-murder his family, of course. Or I guess not his whole family, just his wife and a waiter. But yeah, you know, O.J. Simpson, back when he was being presented to the American public as part of this propaganda campaign, that look, blacks are nothing to be afraid of. Look at that! You know, he's wearing a tuxedo, right? He's well behaved. He's not stabbing anybody right now. You know, they don't have to worry about that. He wouldn't hurt anybody. He certainly wouldn't stab people to death. So here he is presenting Bert Salzman with his award for his wonderful short film that he produced in 1976.
And the winner is Angel and Big Joe, Bert Salzman.
Look at that little goblin Jew. Look at that little guy. Oh, yeah, good old Bert Salzman. Bert Salzman was there to accept the award for Best Short Film, Angel and Big Joe. Angel and Big Joe. Now, we're not going to watch Angel and Big Joe, but to give you an idea, but Angel and Big, his Oscar award-winning work was about. Yeah, it was about this immigrant family, you know, like this this little brownoid over here on the left and his monstrosity of a mother. They were migrant workers. And, of course, the father's not around. I don't know why. I didn't bother watching the whole thing. And he befriends by being super obnoxious and threatening. He befriends a white man. And the white man finds out, oh, we're not so different, the two of us. You know, here's how they meet. It's very charming.
Hey, mister! Hey, mister!
Hey, beat it!
I ain't gonna beat it till you come and fix my phone, and you ain't coming off that pole if you don't come and fix my pole.
Oh, the adorable little scamp. I want to flood the country with people like that. And that, of course, is Paul Sorvino. You guys might remember him from, well, almost every mob movie. I guess he died a couple of years ago. I think he died in 2022. But prior to that, he was basically the, you know, just the mobster in every fucking movie that you can imagine. You know, here he is in The Rocketeer telling you how much he hates the Nazis. He definitely hates Nazis.
Hand it over so we could all go home.
What's it like working for a Nazi, Eddie? Huh? They pay you in dollars or Deutschmarks?
What's he talking about?
Oh, yeah, I got it straight from the feds, Eddie. Nazi spy ring, flying commandos, it works.
Kids have been playing with the ass too thin.
Ask him about the secret room. Ask him about the Germans on the radio.
Relax, Frankenstein. You ain't bulletproof.
Talk fast, Sinclair.
You tell him, Eddie.
Shut up!
Oh, come on, Eddie. I'm paying you well. Does it matter who I work for?
It matters to me. I may not make an honest buck, but I'm 100% American. And I don't work for no two-bit Nazi. Let it go.
That's right. And of course, that was propaganda, too. The reason why they had to portray the mob like that, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, hello, Mussolini? Hello? What? Wouldn't make any sense. But they had to portray the mob this way because of the way they were portraying mobsters generally. And look, I wouldn't even say it's that small of a piece of the puzzle that one of the cover stories, right, of why Jack Ruby, as boomers knew him, a.k.a. Jack Rubenstein. Jack Ruby, I remember my mom telling me this. Oh, yeah, Jack Ruby, he had to kill Lee Harvey Oswald because, you know, the mafia, they're really patriotic. You wouldn't think so, you know, undermining the authority and the social fabric of the country. But, yeah, they're very patriotic, these organized crime bosses. And so they were very mad. They were upset that someone had killed the president. So they flew into a rage and had to kill him. My mom, no shit, said this shit to me. And it was stuff like this that reinforced that her dumb, Mormon housewife, I mean, zero contact with actual mafia or any kind of crime, really, for that matter. Yeah, that's what informed her ideas about what the mafia was about. And obviously, of course, because a lot of the mob was Jewish, the mob wasn't always portrayed in a plausible way in movies. But anyway, so that little short film got this little goblin Jew an Oscar. He got an Oscar. Look at it. Just look at him. He's so happy. He's so happy. I wonder who helped him make this film. I wonder who he's going to thank.
Linda Gottlieb, Learning Corporation of America. My cameraman.
Jewish.
Paul Glickman.
Jewish.
My editor. Armand Leibovitz.
Jewish.
I'm nervous. My music man. Alan Oba.
Jewish.
And last but not least, a dear friend, a wonderful human being, and a man who helped me pull it all together, Mr. L. Ron Hubbard.
What? Wasn't expecting that one. Okay. So, obviously, if you're going to put someone in charge of... propagandizing to your children, which is exactly what his job was. This guy was the guy who was in charge of the company that produced all the after-school specials. Or at least a good, there was other companies that did it, but he was like one of the big ones. And in fact, the one that we're going to take a look at tonight, it was, and the study that it's based on or whatever, it won an Emmy. It won an Emmy. So this is why you can't have people like this in your society. You can't have people like, and look, if for some reason you have to, for fuck's sake, don't put them in charge of educating your children. And this is at every level. This is a more obvious example just because it's the it's the declared purpose of the film, right? Like they're openly saying this is propaganda. I mean, they don't maybe use that word, but that's the understanding. When you have one of these after-school specials, it's propaganda. It's specifically designed to teach kids something that you want the children of your nation to learn. That's the whole purpose of it. Everyone understands that. The people at the networks understand that. The people writing it understand that. They would tell you that. It's not like a lot of Hollywood films or even television shows where you would say, oh no, it's just entertainment. And then, you sneak in your little messages. This is, everyone gets it, that it's explicitly, this is to teach the kids something. And no one had a problem with this guy. No one had a problem with this guy being the guy in charge of what you were teaching the kids. So let's see what he was teaching the kids. With his Emmy Award-winning show inspired, well, not inspired by L. Ron Hubbard. I guess he's just generally inspired by L. Ron Hubbard. But, yeah, good Lord. I guess L. Ron Hubbard was still alive when he said that, right? Was he in the audience? This is 1976. When did L. Ron Hubbard kick the bucket? I'm going to look this up. He died in 86. Yeah, so actually, L. Ron Hubbard was still alive when this show came out, because this show that we're going to talk about tonight came out in 1985. A year before the departing of L. Ron Hubbard's thetans into the volcano or whatever, wherever you go when you're a Scientologist. So anyway, let's take a look at this. Like I said, it's going to have a lot of echoes of things we've seen recently from the same era. And it's interesting because it opens the same way that the show about the wave opened up. There's going to be a lot of parallels between this and the wave, just because this propaganda was wall to wall, floor to ceiling for anyone in the 1980s and 90s growing up. You want to know how white people ended up the way that they are right now? Yeah, maybe some of it's a little innate. I don't even think that it's as much as people think, though. But we had this wall to wall, floor to ceiling, all around the clock. But in addition to that, like I said, this, just like the show that we watched about the wave, it was based on a true story. That true story was about social engineering that was also taking place at the same time on students. So let's take a look at this. This is how it opens up. I'm sure it's, a barrage of white guilt, exactly like the wave. Yeah. Black people screaming. Yep, there we go. By the way, another reason why they open this up like this, kids can relate to this scenario. They did this. You know, not only are you watching the after school special when you get home from school, when you're at school, they're playing these films for you. And say, this is why you should feel bad about being white. This is why you're evil. So this is why all the black, you better be nice to all the black kids in the class. Because you're bad.
Okay, separate but equal. Now that's the doctrine that some states use to keep the blacks in their schools and the whites in theirs.
Ah, yes, the good old days. The good old days of segregation. See, it's not that... See, this is the thing. Why would they have to keep telling white people how bad segregation was? So you wouldn't do it again. Because if you're not constantly telling white people how bad it is, you're going to be like, hey, you know what? Maybe the way we fix this, we've got this problem with white people and our forced proximity to other people. Maybe the way we fix this is we separate. Maybe that's what fixes this. I mean, it's the most obvious situation, right? Like, that's what every parent does. Oh, you got these two kids, they're not getting along. I'm going to send you both to your separate rooms. Oh, I got these two dogs that are fighting. I'm going to separate them. So, it's not, that doesn't take a lot of, thinking to figure out this solution. So they have to tell you, before you even have the first thought about solving this problem. A, the problem's, it's your fault anyway, right? You caused this problem. Didn't you see the burning cross on the TV? That's you guys, you know. Oh, did you see the white kids punching the black people? Oh, yeah, that's bad, huh? You're the aggressor in this situation. And look who else is in the classroom. Saying, you know, the black kids. Oh, yeah, the reason why you're not doing as well as the white kids, it's all because of what the white kids are doing. See, they're keeping you down. So if you're pissed off, if there's anything to be pissed off about or at, it's white people. And, it's certainly nothing that you're doing. Has nothing to do with that. See? Look at that. Oh, yeah, shaking his head. He's just like, those fucking whiteys. So they're psyoping both sides. And they have been for about a century. For about 100 years, they've been telling white people all of the issues with a multiracial society come from something that you're doing. And they're telling the black people all the issues that you're experiencing by living in a predominantly white society that makes it so it's impossible for you to compete because of your inability to live up to their standards. That's their fault. And so be mad at them about it. And here's this boomer to lecture you about it some more.
That's the doctrine that some states use to keep the blacks in their schools and the whites in theirs.
Schools may have been separate, but they sure weren't equal.
Oh, you can say that again, Tyrone. They sure weren't equal. You know, something I was trying to do prior to the show, it's just almost impossible to get this kind of information. I think we don't really need the numbers because we all kind of get what I'm about to say. But I was kind of hoping I could have some kind of concrete numbers for this. I asked different AIs because I have to cross-reference AIs with Wikipedia with everything else. You know, but I was trying to get a list of all the different states that actually practice separate but equal doctrines in one way or another. Where it was actually enforced to some degree post the Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, which was the Supreme Court case that made it legal to have separate facilities as long as they were equal to some extent, right? But they were allowed to be separate. You could separate based on race, and in the Supreme Court decision, which I read, they were explicit that, there is a difference. Just because there is a desire to provide equal accommodations for both sides doesn't mean that there isn't innate differences in both sides and that those differences should be recognized. Again, like I said, 100 years ago, your Supreme Court got it. So this isn't like a centuries-old, innate thing in white people where just like stabbing ourselves in the fucking heart over this shit. This took a lot of programming to get to where we're at today. But anyway, the states were Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. And then to a lesser extent, Kentucky, Missouri, Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, Oklahoma, and Washington, D.C. Oh, I wonder why that is. I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that there was a bunch of black people in Washington, D.C. and a bunch of powerful people who didn't want their kids going to school with them. Funny that. So I was trying to figure out, these are the states where you had these policies. And if the argument is, they sure weren't equal. Oh, yeah, they might have been separate, but they weren't equal. Well, equal how? How are we going to measure equal exactly? Because you're right. They will never be equal in terms of accomplishment because that's the problem, right? If you were to get a classroom full of 30 random black kids, and today even, it doesn't matter if it's from today or 100 years ago, you get 100 random, just randomly picked black kids throughout the country, stick them in a room. And then you do the exact same thing with white kids, stick them in a room, and then you teach them. The classroom with the white kids is going to outperform the classroom with the black kids. That's just the statistical probability on that is through the roof. Okay. So yeah, you're not going to have equal outcomes. You're not going to have equal learning environments. You're not going to have, like, no matter what, even if the building is equal and the teachers are equally paid and whatever else, right? You can try to equalize to make it so that the soil for both seeds, like if you were doing a science fair experiment, where I'm going to plant this seed in this dirt, and I'm going to plant this seed in this dirt, and I'm going to water them the same, and I'm going to put them in the sun. Well, if they're different seeds, they're going to grow different plants. It doesn't, and in fact, some plants might require less water or more water or whatever. And so even if you treat them equally, you're not going to get the exact same results because the seeds are different. And so I was trying to figure out, well, how would you even measure equal? And in fact, let's take it a step further. Let's say, well, you know, one of the complaints might be, well, the black schools were underfunded, you know, they were in shitty parts of town and whatever. Well, I don't know. What's the black contribution, you know, tax-wise to build that school, right? If this is a school that's meant to accommodate black kids, shouldn't it be funded by the black people who are benefiting from the school? How is it equal for the white part of town to be also paying for your school? But it's real, I mean, it's almost impossible. I was trying to find numbers on, okay, you know, what was, for example, what was the tax contribution coming from blacks? I mean, try to find that fucking statistic even today. Right now, we know for a fact they're a net negative to the tune of six figures. But back then, it was probably even worse. Oh, I mean, you know, maybe not six figures, but, you know, because the inflation or whatever. But, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of what they took in services versus what they put in the pot, the disparity was probably off the charts, especially during, the Jim Crow era. So how exactly do you measure equality? Because it's not equal if white people are having to not only pay for their own children's education, but additionally pay for everyone else's education. Because by virtue of having to pay for other people's education, you are necessarily lowering the quality of your children's education. So that's not equality. That's not equal. So anyway, I think you guys all get what I mean by this. Having separate but equal accommodations is just impossible in a multiracial society. It's just, you can't even really do it, which is why multiracial societies are, if you want to have a successful society, it just can't be multiracial, because you're always going to have these kinds of disparities, these kinds of problems. And this is the kind of thing that that white people are once again beginning to understand. But this is the kind of thing that even when this aired in 1985, there were white people that got it. That's why they had to make this show.
And that's a good point.
But aren't things different now, Mr. Molnar? I mean, all that happened a long time ago.
Not so long ago.
So you're going to hear the white kids that are portrayed in this show sounding exactly like white people on Twitter today. They're going to make the same arguments, right? Like, well, you were never a slave and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not like these aren't like new ideas that white people are having. This is just stuff that white people have always, because white people are reasonable, logical people. And when you're presented with something that has a lot of inconsistencies in it, you start to point out the inconsistencies and say, well, I don't know. Wasn't that like a long time ago? I didn't own a slave. Blah, blah, blah. But don't worry, Captain Boomer's here to, you know, set you straight.
The time you were born. And it's still going on in a lot of places all around the world today.
Oh, it's still going on somewhere else that's not here. Okay, well, those places actually sound kind of nice, if you think about it. Probably what he was talking about was, South Africa or something like that. Since this was 1985, and that was a big thing. And the author, well, we'll get to that in a moment.
Whoa, look at that boy run. Guess you'd run too, boy. With 100-pound shepherd snapping your designer jeans.
Uh-huh. See, exact same kind of resentment, and you've got the two Chad white guys, the two jock white guys, who obviously right off the bat we realize are going to be the evil people in this show, and the cool black guys. They're like, oh, you be running too, boy, you be running too. And the white guys are just like, this is fucking stupid. What, like, why are we watching this? This, why do I have to watch? It's 1980 fucking five. I didn't own slaves. I have nothing to do with this.
Gail's right, Mr. Mullen. It is different now. Back then, blacks weren't even allowed in restaurants. But now they have the same rights that we do.
And we on show do wants to thank you good white folk for everything you give us, too.
And there you go. The attitude of black people hasn't changed either. In 1985, they should have been happy with all the bending over backwards that white people had been doing for the past century. Like, literally giving in over and over and over. And to their own detriment. Sharing a classroom with all these ungrateful fucking, yeah, you know what I mean. Darkies, how about that? I'm trying to be nice. It's Easter. And, yes, the attitude hasn't changed either. Oh, Whitey, poor Whitey. Oh, poor Whitey and his white tears. You don't know what it's like to be oppressed like me and Tyrone over here. And you know, just look at the look on the white people's face. It's the same thing. It's just like, what are you talking about? You know? Like, what the fuck are you even talking about? What are you going on about? But of course, now, because it's 1985, it's not just the black kids that hate Whitey. It's, you know, everybody.
It's never been much better for Hispanics either. We're left with all the jobs other people in this country won't take.
Oh, yes. And the Mexicans have a bone to pick, too. Pablo over here is like, he's pissed off. Again, he should be kissing Whitey's ass. Because if these jobs are so shit, why didn't he stay in Mexico? How bad is your fucking country that you have to come here and do the shit job? And by the way, to our own detriment. Because by allowing you to come here, you're bringing a little bit of that shit up here with you. You are lowering the baseline, the civilizational baseline of our society. You're lowering wages. You're lowering the quality of the work that's done. You're stifling innovation. You're making it so that if indeed, for whatever reason, we can't afford to have people do these jobs, you're preventing innovation and automation from taking place that would make these goods and services available if they're indeed, again, so they're, it's so difficult to do, you know, like, and we, you know, it's so difficult to pay white people a living wage to do these jobs. Right, then I guess we should make robots or something that does it. And here you show up, and you're complaining about it too. If it's so shitty, why'd you come here to do it? I mean, how shitty is your country? To where you have to go and take the shitty job at another one, and it's miles better, and you're still complaining. Because you're just as ungrateful as fucking Tyrone. So he's fucking bitching and moaning.
Somebody's got to pick the cotton.
Fucking based white guy there. But that's the thing, is that somebody could be a robot or a white guy getting paid what he deserves to get paid. We don't always have to have slave labor. And unfortunately, it's this desire for slave labor that has really wrecked our country. Really wrecked it beyond repair. It's not coming back. And it's because of people that wanted slave labor. In both instances. In the instance of black people and in the instance of Hispanics. That's really what it boils down to. It's people richer than you who lecture you about racism, who wanted slave labor and created a situation where they got slave labor and you paid the price. And they'll tell you that you should be okay with it because avocados are a little bit cheaper now. Well, then we got the Asian. And you're thinking to yourself, well, the Asian, the model immigrant, right? Surely she won't have a bone to pick. Surely, she's not going to have some kind of fucking grievance with the whitey. Same thing, right? They've come here, they've succeeded. And how bad was your country if you had to come here and build railroads and make fucking, laundromats or whatever the fuck? Why are you so upset? You seem to be doing okay now. But then you can see that the propaganda is now, because she might feel that way. She might think, I'm doing okay in school. No one's really a dick to me. You know, the white people treat me nice, and I've got the ability to go to a college and get a degree and make a lot of money. And, no one seems to have that big of a problem with us. But then she's sitting in that dark room, listening to the propaganda of MLK telling her that actually maybe she should feel oppressed.
Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time.
She's getting swept up. And then we find out the name of the show is The War Between the Classes, when really it means race. And that's how they, I guess, disguised it a bit. This is how they kind of beat around the bush about what they were actually talking about. It's The War Between the Classes. Now, of course, because she's an Asian girl and white girls are stupid, she's there tutoring the dumb white chick that's flunking out of school with her massive Asian brain.
Now finish your chapter tonight and pass the test tomorrow, understand? I know I'll flunk it.
Jealousy kicks in. She sees the nice house.
Hello, Mrs. Tarcher.
Oh, hello, Amy.
Also, again, as with all of these shows, no father anywhere, ever. Every one of these, there's no dad. Every single one of them. And I'm going to repeat it, even though I said this last time. The reason is obvious. The people most likely to take their values from a television show are the people who come from households with no father, whose single mom is either still at work because they're latchkey kids, or they're just too busy and tired to deal with the kids, and they plop them in front of the TV and say, there you go, learn something good, Billy. The Jews have cooked something up for you to learn. So why don't you sit down and learn from the good Jews.
Mrs. Tarcher.
Oh, hello, Amy.
I just finished with Tina.
Well, don't hurry off. I didn't mean to startle you.
You didn't really. I was just on my way out. Amy, your father runs a landscaping service, doesn't he? I've been having so much trouble with my gardener. Do you suppose you could have your father call me?
Yes, ma'am, I will. I've got to get going. Bye.
Bye, Amy.
Oh, then she goes out and she sees Chad. Oh, we all know about Asian girls. She wants her some of that. She wants her some of that. She sees Chad in his letter jacket and is like, oh, that's I need some of that. And that's also where we see it's based upon a novel by Gloria D. Miklowitz. Ah, yes, Gloria D. Miklowitz. Hi, Gloria. There's Gloria right there. Gloria D. Miklowitz. She wrote over 60 books, young adult books, just like this, teaching them. You know, it's propaganda, just in the form of young adult books. So, I'm telling you, the Jews are getting you from every angle. Every angle. In fact, she wrote books up until, I think, the last one that was published was like 2005. Like, she was still writing these propaganda books up until 2005. And I think she died like in 2010 or something. But all of her books were, it was Goyim propaganda. Topics like racial injustice, date violence, and militia involvement. Don't join a militia, Goy. That's bad. That'll get you in trouble. And so, not only that, it's inspired by Professor Ray Otero's color game concept. What is that? Ray Otero's color game concept? There's Mr. Otero. Ray Otero. Otero. I like Otero better. I'm almost positive it's Otero. Good old Ray over here. We'll get back to him in a minute. So it's based on some novel written by some Jew who just pumped out Goyim propaganda all day long, and inspired by a social experimenting Mexican sociology professor, which, again, we'll get back to him in a second, who definitely does not have a chip on his shoulder and definitely does not hate white people. So anyway, going back to the scene of the yellow fever is brewing. The yellow fever is it's the heat's turning up.
Hi.
How are the algebra wars going?
I think our side is losing. Math isn't exactly your sister's favorite subject.
It runs in a family.
I know. You do okay.
Hey, baby! You got girlfriend, Vietnam?
Yeah, I do okay. Hop in, I'll run you home.
That's okay. The bus stop's not very far from here.
The bus service around here is only terrible.
I don't know. Everyone who's taken him says he's the best teacher in school.
Yeah, but the film, it was so depressing. And what's it gonna prove? All it does is stir up the past, all those old feelings.
Those things happened, though. Maybe we should learn about them.
Maybe. But showing blacks and whites beating up on each other? I mean, come on. What's Molnar trying to do? Start a riot?
I wonder who he thinks is going to riot. But again, see, this is what I'm saying. This isn't like a new thing where white people are just like, come on already. What the fuck? They were saying this in the 80s. They were saying this in the 70s. They've always been saying it because it's always been fucking stupid. It's always been fucking stupid that we owe black people anything. And it's always been fucking stupid that here you have, just as an example, an Asian immigrant And other groups that come here, they don't seem to have the exact same problem that blacks seem to have everywhere they are and everywhere they exist around the world. And white people are just like, come on! How many videos of burning crosses and white people punching black people do we have to watch? Get over it already. They were saying this in 1985. And because they were saying it, they had to make movies like this to let the white kids who were thinking stuff like that know that no, it's, we have to. We have to because, you know, you're the bad guy. You're definitely the bad guy. So he takes her home, and he's like, hey, baby. I could really do with some Chinese food a little bit later. I'm Japanese. Whatever, baby. It's sushi then, whatever. Later on tonight, if you're so inclined. And she's like, that sounds wonderful. And he's like, all right, I'll make sure that I get that fried rice. And she's like, that's Chinese. And he's like, whatever, bitch. We're going to go ice skating tonight. And, we're going to have a good old time. You know, I'm an equal opportunity employer over here, if you know what I mean. And she's like, I don't know what she's like. All right, I'll be here at 7. So he picks her up and takes her ice skating.
How's that? Tight enough?
I think my circulation's cut off.
Whoa.
Me so horny.
Please come with training wheels.
That's what I'm here for.
Amy? Carol, Jesse, you know Adam.
Hi.
How you doing?
Why don't you join us? We're with Mike and Anita. She skates worse than you. Impossible.
Come on.
Here comes trouble.
Hey, when'd you get here? Just now.
Everyone's over here. Come on.
Hey, man. I'm listening.
Me so horny. You keep lying. Me love you long time.
Well, maybe when you're finished, you'll find some time for your old friends. Later, muchacho.
Yeah, maybe when that yellow fever there dies down a little bit, you can come on over back to where the white people are hanging out. So the based white kid, after race mix shaming him a little bit, tells him to go hang out with his own people. But he's too caught up in the yellow fever. He's too wrapped up in the moment. And they go and have a good old time. But then finally, he's like, all right, let's go sit down with my white friends. And she's like, okay, I guess.
Hi. Adam. Amy-san. So honorable of honorable Sumita-san to honor us at our little party.
Can't we take you anywhere?
It takes you a while, but you grow then.
Yeah, like unwanted hair.
Nice move, Thompson. Very stylish. But you're gonna have to work a little bit on your technical merit.
Get out of my face.
Yeah, you fucking stupid nigga.
I like this guy. So he's just going around. He's being the guy that white guys, honestly, he's walking around being white and not afraid. He's walking around just being a white guy in a way that white people have been. It's what white people think, but they're all too much of a pussy to be. He's just out there just being, hey, what, not so smooth on the ice there, are you, Blackie? Most honorable. Nice to meet you. Yeah, he's just being, he's basically acting like 1950s cartoons. And, of course, you know, who has a problem with it? The white chicks are like, oh, he's so immature. Well, that's why you should shut the fuck up. Let us run things. So anyway, he goes back to hang out with his friends.
I don't think he liked that.
I don't think I care. Natural rhythm didn't help him. Skating's still a white man's sport.
Oh, he's so immature. But the Asian chick's all uncomfortable because of how racist he is. Meanwhile, back at the school that has a black principal, because why wouldn't it? The white teacher has to go ask permission to run a little experiment that he wants to run on the children. Because I wasn't making this up. It happened to me. I told you boomer teachers were hell-bent on running and doing social experiments that would somehow prove their worldview. And so they would do these really skewed, like The Wave. If you haven't watched The Wave edition, highly recommend it. It's from a couple streams ago. They decide they have to do these social experiments that prove to themselves their worldview while simultaneously psyoping and cramming that worldview into the minds of the subjects of their experiment. And that's exactly what's going on here. It's a different kind of a thing, but not really that much different. And again, this is based on real life, just like the other one was based on real life, just a different scenario, but it's the same kind of fucking stupid bullshit. So in this case, you had him wanting to run a experiment that was, well, it's kind of like the blue-eyed experiment, too. Like it's endless. There's all these fucking, like, boomers running around trying to make white people feel bad about themselves. And it was very, very similar to the brown-eyed, blue-eyed experiment that we covered in that. What was the name of that stream? It was called, like Stupid Cunt Edition. Like, I'm not even kidding. I think that's what it's called. Like, fucking, I think it's called Stupid Cunt Edition. But anyway, so he's like, hey, boss, I want to do this social experiment. Can I do it? And he's like, okay, I'll let you do your wacky experiment because it's going to fix racism forever. And that's always been the calling of the Age of Aquarius. That's why God put you on this planet, white man from the 1960s and beyond. It's to solve racism forever. It's never been solved before in the history of the universe. But you're going to be the ones that do it. You're going to do it with a little bit of help from the Jews. You'll be able to do it. And he's like, oh, great, sweet. All right, I'll get right on my experiment. And so he goes on the next day to explain the experiment to the kids.
We're going to call this experiment the color game. First, we have the blues with all their pride, power, prestige, and wealth. Now, they like society just the way it is, and they want to keep it that way. Below them, we have the greens. This is the middle class, the workaday, average, law-abiding citizens. And finally, we have the oranges, or the rangs. This is the low class, or should I say the lower class in our society.
So what do we have to do?
For the next month, each one of you is going to be either a blue, a green, or an orange.
I pick blue. You'll find me on my yacht.
We'll be there.
You will be required to behave like a member of your social class, and you will be treated accordingly at all times. And what that means is that this game goes on 24 hours a day.
I don't see how that can work, Mr. Molnar. Anytime we want, we could break the rules.
Brian and Diane are members of my senior class, all of whom will be acting as our police force. We're going to call them G4s.
So what? I mean, if I got caught, what's anybody going to do about it?
Brian?
Violators will be given demerits. Demerits mean fines and punishment.
And of course, it'll be enforced by a black man and a white woman. But it's the same sort of a thing. And yes, obviously, I've already kind of, you know, spoiler alert, that this was an experiment that they were doing. We'll talk about the extent of it in a minute, but they were doing these experiments in California on actual school kids. But just like with the wave experiment, where you had to act a certain way, you were told in the case of the wave experiment, they were told that if they didn't try to start a revolution, they might get a bad, they might fail the class. Like they were implanting in the minds of the participants of this experiment what behavior was expected of them before they even start the experiment. So it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. In this case, in the way they describe it here, where he's like saying, these are the three classes, and then there's the low class or the rings, and we hate them, they're niggers. Like that's, so he's already setting the stage for like, okay, I'm telling you that if you're at the top, you have to basically be exclusionary assholes. If you're in the middle, then, you know, I guess whatever. And then if you're at the bottom, then you're the hated rings, and everyone hates you, and it gets to order you around, and you should be cruel. And so they've already tainted the experiment by like telling you what behavior is expected of you. You're going to be policed. You're going to have people walking around making sure you behave in this way, that you role play. So it's not even an experiment at this point. It's just a role play. You've been given a script. You've been given a character, and you're expected to play that role. And like, that's it. That's not an experiment. That's a way of mind fucking people. And of course, how do you think that they divvy things up? I wonder who they're going to put in as the high class people and the low class people. Well, obviously the high class people are going to be the brown people, and the low class people or the orange people are going to be the white people. And if anything, all this really proves, because of the behavior that you end up seeing, is that the people who are at the lower classes, when they're put in a position, even in this little menial way above white people, they take out resentment on white people. And look, I don't have to tell you guys, are part of this experiment every day. Every time you go to the DMV and you have to listen to some fucking non-white about like what kind of paperwork you need to have, and oh, you didn't sign this, you have to go take another number, I won't let you just sit here and sign it real quick, make sure you go to the, you know, like any tiny amount of power, whether you're at the post, any kind of government job where you have to deal with some non-white bureaucrat who has like a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of power, and there's no, and you can't get them fired, they have no, there's no repercussions for bad customer service or whatever, anytime you put these non-whites in these positions over white people, what do you guys always experience? I don't have to tell you. You experience it every fucking day. You experience it anytime you have to interact with these people. And sometimes it's not even government jobs. It could just be customer service people. It could be the checkout person at a fucking Target. It doesn't matter. Anytime you're in any kind of situation whatsoever where you're as a white person, you're having to interface with a non-white with a chip on their shoulder, which is about 80 to 90% of them, let's just face it, that's the kind of fucking attitude that you get. And when you have an experiment, quote unquote, like this, where you're basically just giving black people permission to act out their power fantasies against white people, what do you get? And what does that prove exactly? Kind of the opposite of what they think it proves. Like, look at this. Already they're starting this out.
Pick it up, Orange.
Pick it up, white boy. I mean, that's all it is. It's just a black power fantasy is all it is. Look at him. Pick it up, boy. Pick it up. Finally, I get my revenge on Whitey. I mean, we literally just yesterday watched this film reel about white people being evil and the source of all of our problems. And then the other funny thing that they inadvertently do is not all of the blacks get like the highest rank. Right? Not all of them get blue, because they try to act as if, oh, it's random, but randomly all the white people get like the shit end of the stick, right? Just like the brown eye, blue eyed experiment was, well, it's random, yeah, because like the people with blue eyes aren't going to all be white. Give me a fucking break, right? And so they go to the lunch, and what do you see? Well, look, there's a black guy with an orange armband at the table of black kids. So no, they didn't divide up based on armband. They still divided up by race. Even your gay fucking fake experiment TV show. Anyway, So they get handed out these armbands, and of course the evil white jock Chad guys, they're oranges, and which is like the nigger, that's the nigger one. And the angry, resentful black people, for the most part, get blue. With, you know, I guess there's the exception, him right there. But he's still welcome at the table because he's black. And they go to lunch, and they're kind of complaining. You got yellow fever guy over here hitting on his waifu, saying like, cause she also got blue, which is the good one. Blue is the white person one. And she gets in trouble for I guess slumming it a little bit.
Hey, Todd.
Remember, just a class exercise.
Adam, good to see you. I'd like you to open my milk carton for me, if you don't mind. You see, there's just some things us blue folk don't like to do for ourselves.
I'm through with my lunch, Orange. Would you remove my tray, please?
Yes, mine too.
And there you go. It's just black power fantasies. It's just black. Now you know what it's like to be black. No, we'll never know what it's like to be fucking retarded. I mean, black. All right, we'll never know. That's the one thing you guys are right about. We'll never know what that's like. And you'll never know what it's like to be white, because it's not this. I've never been able to do that. I've never been like, Tyrone, I summon thee to my table. Open my milk. Now take away my tray. None of you have ever been able to do that. And if you did, your life would be in danger. Your life would be in danger if you were to even jokingly do something like that. As we all know from earlier, I guess last week now, you just ask a black person to not sit in your seat and you get stabbed in the heart. Okay? And so this is not reality, but this is how boomers saw reality.
Adam, glad you could make it. You may leave now.
I don't believe you, man. How long are you going to be Thompson's trash man, huh?
It's a game. Everybody knows it. The novelty will soon wear off.
They're eating this up. Strutting around, throwing their weight, giving you grief because you're white and they're so-called oppressed minorities. They're going to use this game to get back at us.
He's the only guy that gets it.
I'm not very hungry, Justin. I'd like you to remove my tray.
See, and there we see. Now, even the Asian, who is now feeling oppressed, also has resentment against the white guy that called her a waifu or whatever the fuck. You know, oh, most honorable. You know, like, oh, now she gets to get her revenge. I hate to tell you guys this. All non-whites. Again, generalizations as, you know, being what they are. All non-whites have a chip on their shoulder and have resentment in their hearts.
They're going to use this game to get back at us.
I'm not very hungry, Justin. I'd like you to remove my tray.
Hey, forget you. Game or no game, I am nobody's girlfriend.
Is there a problem here, Amy?
Me so horny.
This green here refuses to obey my orders.
Insubordination. That's going to look real bad on tomorrow's report, Green. It's 10 demerits. Halt, Green. What do you do when leaving the presence of a superior?
Non-white power fantasy. That's all this is. That's all this is, and when you see a little bit more, I think, about the guy who designed the real test, it'll just be confirmed. So after school, the white Chad is still trying to be cool about it, because that's what a lot of white Chads try to do. They try to be cool about it. They try to be not let it get under their skin, because they're just, you know, a little bit of it's hubris. A little bit it's hubris, because it feels like punching down. You know, it's like humoring the retard, right? All right, let the retard have his fun. He's retarded. You know, at least I wasn't born a retard. You give him a little more leeway. You give him a little more leeway because you feel like, you know, God, if I was black, I'd probably kill myself. You know, like let them have their little fucking fun. You know, they don't really pose any threat to me. We're always going to be a majority white country. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's really going to be what we say goes anyway. So, we'll let them have their little fun. It's not like the retards are going to be running things ever. So, you know, so he's trying to go along with this. He's trying to be a good sport.
This whole thing is so bizarre.
Adam, I'm sorry about what happened today. Maybe I shouldn't have made Justin clear my tray. But he gets me so angry sometimes. He just gets me so mad.
It's the game. I mean, sure, there's a lot of bigots. But I'm not that way. You're not that way.
Actually, I kind of am. Like, a little bit I am. Like, a little bit I am. Because guess what? A little bit everybody is, at least. A little bit everybody is. What kind of a person wouldn't prefer their own? Mentally ill people, that's who. That's the answer. The healthy, normal person prefers their own. And they dislike you just for being who you are. And this was just as true in 1985, people acting like, oh, yeah, we hit some kind of golden era of in race relations somehow in the 90s or whatever. It's like, no, this is not really. I mean, maybe on TV. It's funny because you get a lot of these people who like to complain about boomers acting exactly like boomers when they talk about the fucking 90s, like it was some kind of golden era where there wasn't any racism. It's like, no, you were just that fucking deluded. Your experience was like, you like to make fun of boomers because, oh, you went to your all-white school. You went to your all-white school. You don't know what it's like around. Well, guess what? A lot of people in the 90s, certainly not me, but there's a lot of people in the 90s that also lived in all-white suburbs. And their exposure to black people was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Bill Cosby. Maybe they watched a Martin Lawrence movie. Maybe they thought Beverly Hills Cop was really funny. Maybe they really liked that Run-DMC video where, like, Aerosmith is on one side of the wall, and they're like playing guitars. They're like the rock and roll, like white guys. But then on the other side of the wall, you know, it was like they were like rappers. You got Flava Flav with the big clock around his fucking neck and the chains, and they're just like, you know, rapping and shit. And like then somehow they blast through the wall. They're just like, you know, totally like how we're breaking down the barriers of racism, right? And then like the rock and roll and the rap, it comes together in like harmony and shit, man. And then it's like we're all like the same color on the inside, bro. I mean, you guys sound like fucking retarded boomers. So anyway, this experiment keeps going. And, Chatty McYellow Fever over here gets a little, gets certainly a little pissed off. He doesn't like being treated differently as an orange person. Plus, he's getting ratted out for fraternizing with the Blues.
This orange is accused of secretly initiating a meeting with the Blue. He and Amy Sumita were reported seen in his car yesterday parked on Birch Street. Fine is $10.
But that's half my money. Oranges were only given $20.
Breaking the law is expensive. I hope you learned your lesson.
That's right. Because didn't you know, as a black man, you can just be accused of anything and you're in trouble. You don't have to be doing anything at all. You can just be sitting in a car with a white person having a conversation. And next thing you know, the cops are going to show up and fine you half your paycheck. Because that's what it's like. Just listen to the white woman with her clipboard. And I don't blame you for not understanding, white boy. I think hopefully you're learning a little bit with the help of this experiment. Hopefully you're starting to figure it out what it's really like to be black. But I know you live in your little nerfy white world with your gated community. You don't know what it's like in the ghetto. Conversely, but I'll tell you who's going to learn what it's like to be like you. That Jap whore you're trying to bang, she's going to figure it out.
Amy Sumita? You're advised not to be susceptible to this kind of thing. Your fine has been suspended since this is only your first offense.
What? It's not fair.
Yeah, it is, because that's what it's like to be black. That's what it's like to be... If you do anything when you're black, you get fined and thrown in prison right away. But if you're white, And you did the exact same thing, well, then nothing happens to you because you're white. We don't fine you. That's what it's like. See, all this is really doing, like I said, it's just reinforcing the resentment. It's reinforcing the resentment to blacks. It's telling blacks that's how it is when it's, it's obviously not that. But it's telling blacks that's how it is. Oh, yeah, that's what it's like. If you're a white kid and you do the exact same thing, then you don't get in trouble at all. But if you're a black kid, you get in trouble. And so they're telling that to the black kids and they're telling that to the white kids. Oh, you should maybe give a little more leeway to blacks because, they have a totally different reality. They commit the exact same crime that you do and they go right to jail. Meanwhile, and the white kids are like, you mean like run from the cops? Because I've never done. No. Quiet, you. Body cams don't exist yet, so no one knows about how they behave when they're getting arrested.
The oranges don't have a chance. Why should I or any of the rest of us play this game as oranges just on the luck of the draw?
But Adam, life is the luck of the draw. It's like a baby born in a ghetto. I mean, what choice does he have?
But I'm not responsible for that. It's not my fault that anyone is born in a ghetto.
And it's not my fault you drew an orange.
Uh-huh. Now you know what it's like to be black. Uh-huh. And so that's basically what they're doing. And like I said, this is an experiment, quote-unquote, experiment that was foisted upon a lot of kids in California. A lot of kids for years. Like I said, we'll get into it here in a moment. So he's all pissed off. He's like, what the fuck? This is unfair. Maybe I'm not getting it, but it just doesn't seem like it's computing. And so after school in secret, he tries to tell his rice cooker like girlfriend, hey. I don't like this experiment at all. Doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, I had a great day. I lost my position on the team.
Adam, why?
Talk about being prejudiced. Coach has this idea that in sports, black is always better. So my soul brother Thompson got it. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Whites have always gotten ahead because of their color. And now, I'm getting a dose of the same medicine.
I wasn't thinking that.
Since when have whites had it in for everyone? Seems to me Orientals have always done okay.
My father was a little boy when World War II started.
Oh, here we go.
A lot of people were scared to death that every Japanese living here was a spy or a saboteur. The government hauled them all off to the desert and put them in camps. 100,000 Japanese Americans. Americans, Adam. My father grew up behind barbed wire just because he was Japanese.
Oh, Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong. Oh.
Yeah. Okay, but which is it? You're like, American, Adam. And at the end of that, like, maybe the same sentence or maybe the next one, just because he was Japanese. Okay, which one is it, though? Which one is it? He's American, and they put him in the camp just because he was Japanese. Okay, so you can't be both. So just deal with the fact that your family decided to move to another country, and then your home country declared war on that country. And so, what did you expect? What did you expect? And it's not like these were death camps. You know, there weren't any abuses going on. We just had to keep an eye on you shifty-eyed motherfuckers. After Pearl Harbor, I mean, come on. If I moved to Iran and then C-130 started circling over Tehran, blasting away at buildings, and the Iranian guard or whatever the fuck it's called was like, I'd feel thankful if all they did was like, hey, look, Devin. You're going to have to live in this Walmart over here until all this is straightened out, until the smoke settles. We're going to have you live over here in this Holiday Inn. Okay. Or Motel 6 or whatever. Just because we don't, you know, we're not saying you're a spy, but I mean, you can understand it, right? I mean, you're American, you move here, and now Americans are raining hell down from the sky. I mean, we can't have you just walking around. I mean, we'd be crazy to do that. And you know what? I'd be like, oh, thank you for not killing me. Because I would have killed me, maybe. I maybe would have just killed me and not worried about it or deported me. But you sound pretty reasonable. You're saying I can go live in that Walmart over there. All right, I'll do that. Hopefully my people don't bomb the Walmart I'm in. They've tried so hard. You got to give it to the Japanese because they don't seem to ever have really bitten. Like a few of them have, but generally, you know, as a group, they don't seem to trot that out. No matter how many times they try to put that in, that narrative into the, like shows like this, like, oh, and then the camps they put the Japanese in. You know, you hear it every once in a while, but you got to, yeah, I'll give Japanese people credit for not like always dragging that one fucking out. Or maybe that's changed, right? Maybe as white power has eroded, and the control over the society is apparently up for grabs. You hear that more often. I heard it a couple times in my whole life. Compared to fucking slavery, I've heard it not at all. But anyway, so she's like, oh, they put us in camps. Oh.
I'm sorry that happened. But that's history, Amy. When have you personally ever been made to suffer?
In little ways, but all the time.
Oh, Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong. Oh.
Little ways all the time. I'm always suffering. You know, we really got to redefine suffering. I mean, we've made it so easy for you fuckers in this country. To where, like, you having to deal with the fact that you're not white is suffering. Again, the math doesn't add up. And you should be good at math because you're Asian. If it's so painful to be here, why are you here? Why was this a better place to be? Okay. So either conform to whitey or get the fuck out. Get the fuck out and stop bitching about it. You have a place to go. Where am I supposed to go when you fuck up my place? So shut the fuck up or get the fuck out. And really at this point, it's like they're not shutting the fuck up. So I think it's just, you know, get the fuck out at this point. So anyway, it continues. They keep berating the white people and acting out other anti-white power fantasies while promoting, you know, the handful of non-whites that accidentally got the lower caste or whatever when they passed out the armbands. Now they're just to really let you know what this is really about. They're promoting people like Pedro for being a good little goy.
In light of this individual's repeated disregard for authority, it is recommended that he be severely fined and be immediately demoted to orange status. You shall pay a fine of $50.
I don't have $50.
Then you may substitute 1 week of detention. Surrender your green band. Guess I'd expect that from a Rang.
You will all perish in the fire. You will all be consumed by the fire. And so they promote Pedro while demoting the white kid. And they have to try to explain to white kids why blacks are always so violent, why they happen to riot. And this is supposed to give an explanation. That, oh, look, given the right circumstances, if the roles were reversed, you too would riot. It doesn't happen anywhere. I mean, it's not like there's not white, you know, poor white people. I mean, there's poor white people. There's more poor white people in America than poor black people. And they're never collectively rioting. But anyway, we have to make it seem like there's a reason that happens that is external. Right? It has to be external. It can't be unique to the biology of the people rioting. It has to be some kind of external thing that's really interchangeable because we're communists. And or at least the guy who designed this, he's a communist. And in order to reinforce his communist ideas that everything's environment and there's nothing that's innate in people, certainly not races, which don't even exist really, this is the way we've explained it. We've explained that by making you wear this orange armband and everyone treating you like shit and being rewarded for treating you like shit for a couple of weeks, that will drive you to violence and vandalism.
Look, they call us Rangs, right? So let's act the way they expect us to.
What does that mean?
It means let's do something.
What'd you have in mind, brother?
I say Thompson's car could use a good 5-minute paint job.
Wait a minute, why don't you just calm down?
Why don't you take a walk?
I say let's do it.
I do like how the only person that's going along with it is the black guy. He's like, yeah, well, I'm already programmed. I don't need some fucking orange armband to tell me to vandalize.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not crazy. I'm just good and mad.
Orange is beautiful, baby.
Orange is beautiful!
Like, what the fuck is that? Anyway, so they've been transformed and we're cackling madmen now.
Orange.
And so, anyway. Now the principal is getting concerned. The principal's like, oh, this is getting out of hand. Oh, we're starting to have vandalism and violence. Yeah, again, very similar to The Wave. Very similar. It's crazy this kind of shit was going, which also The Wave shit was taking place in California. A lot of this was happening in California. If you want to know why Californians are so fucked up, it's because so many goddamn hippies moved there and then grew up and became teachers and then focused all their communism on the kids. As a kid that went to school, elementary school and middle school in California, I can tell you that it was just boomers trying to make you into a communist. Like, that was pretty much all of my schooling in California. And at this point, even the Chad that's trying to be understanding and trying to be very, forgiving of the situation, understand, it's just, it's just an experiment that I'm in this tricky situation because I'm trying to make this slant-eyed bitch over here think I'm not a racist, and this experiment's not helping.
All right. Quit. Just don't think that solves anything.
Amy, I'm not trying to solve anything. I'm just trying to put my life back to where it was before this stupid game.
What's it gonna be like for everyone else? When the game's over, does everything go back to the way it was before? So maybe there won't be any more blues or greens or oranges. But there will always be blacks and whites and browns and yellows.
Ding dong, his don't go eyes!
And maybe, just maybe, you'll see how someone feels who isn't as lucky as you are.
Maybe, just maybe, then you'll know what it's like not to be a white Chad. And so he's had enough of this shit. He's finally just fucking pissed off. And decides to yell at her and have a little freak out.
I won't take personal responsibility for all the injustice in the world, Amy.
See, again, that's what white people still say. White people still say this shit. It's not new. There's not like an awakening going on. White people have always been mad about this stupid situation. They've just never done anything about it.
I won't take personal responsibility for all the injustice in the world, Amy. I never owned a slave. And I never called anyone a nigger or a spick or a chink.
Did you pay Paul Thompson's car?
No, I didn't.
But you know who did, don't you? And you're going to protect him because you feel you have to. What you're doing, Adam, is the same thing kids do in the ghetto. What you feel, that's what they live with. Only they can't quit.
All fucking niggers must fucking hang.
They have to go through life butting their heads against people like you who won't open their eyes and see the other side.
Now you know what it's like to be black and not talk to the cops. Because you're protecting the oranges. And he's just like, this fucking bitch, man. This fucking bitch. Isn't it enough that we hired her dad to do the lawn? I mean, this fucking bitch.
Such a bigot. Why did I ever go out with you?
I don't know, Adam. I really don't know, and I don't know why I ever went out with you.
What are you staring at? Is that worth paying you for? Get back to work. Hey, I said get back to work and mind your own business. Amy!
This is my business, son.
He's like, ah, shit, it's her dad. It's her dad. I can't, I'm actually glad it's her dad. I'm glad it's her dad because I know how women work.
The most important step in the process of finding the right girl for you and ending up with a happy life is... Her father must respect you, or better yet, fear you. Let's take a step back. Do you own a weapon? Have you ever designed and built a torch?
What are you staring at? Is that worth paying you for? Get back to work.
The best idea is within 5 minutes of meeting her father for the first time, tell him to go to hell.
Hey, I said get back to work and mind your own business.
You have to respect that.
So now he knows that she's going to respect him because he embarrassed her father right in front of her like a fucking Chad. But her father catches up and he's like, you're not ashamed of me for being a gardener, are you? Are you ashamed of being Japanese? And she's like, no. No, but sometimes it's hard not being white. And then, of course, all the orange people, because, you know, boomers, it's like they want to relive the civil rights movement. It's like it was like some big fucking party to them. Like, you know, only the boomers, right, would fetishize the moment that they burned the country to the ground. You know, the moment that they just gave it all away, they joyfully hopped up on every fucking pill and acid tab and anything they could fucking get their hands on, smoking it, snorting it, shooting in their fucking ass, whatever. Anything they get their hands on while listening to White Rabbit, and feeling like we're changing the world. They just love to celebrate the moment. They just pissed it all away. They just fucking pissed our entire civilization down the toilet. And they love seeing it when they can get other young people to do, you know, to act out that and live vicariously through them that moment. So that's what happens, of course, is the oranges start freaking out and having some kind of march and then like even the black kid learns his lesson because he turns into the evil racist.
Back off, niggas!
What have I done?
Been to the mountaintop, and I have seen the promised land.
Oh, and then the preachy boomer shows up and he's like, now you get it, kids. Now you understand. I have just solved racism for the next generation with my awesome experiment. You're welcome, kids. All colors unite. It says over his shoulder as he smugly looks down the stair steps. Now let's all join hands and come into the classroom as one, for we all know what it's like to walk a mile in the other man's shoes.
Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. The dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time.
Oh, now is the time that we see that the associate executive producers were Richard Gelb and Eve Silverman, Casting by Deborah Rubenstein. But yeah. So, and that's it. But this was, like I was saying, this was based on a real experiment. It was based, well, experiment as in social engineering. It was performed not just on college kids all throughout the 80s, but also on high school kids and even younger. They started doing it in elementary school. And so they were forcing these traumatic experiences onto children, so they would come out of it believing in the worldview, the communist worldview, that was espoused by the creator, which is, you're about to meet him here.
While the world outside of Occidental College has battled for decades to resolve the issues of racism and discrimination, Professor Ray Otero has created his own answer. He calls it the color game.
Ah, yes, Ray Otero, with his awesome color game that was so fascinating. This is a news report from 1983 when they were still doing it at Occidental College, where he was a professor, and then it would later spread to high schools and middle schools in all throughout California.
These students are citizens of an invented society where colored armbands determine your status. If you're blue, you're the upper class, the top. A dark green is nearly there, but if you're a light green or worse, an orange, you're at the low end of the scale, and life in this mini society is filled with discrimination against you. On a recent visit to Occidental College, I asked sociology professor Ray Otero how he came up with this idea.
So what we did is come up with some arbitrary colors that I just made up, although from blue, dark green, light green, and oranges, each one having a specific value in this society that is ethnic, racial, and class value. And people would have to correspond, interact with each other according to those colors.
And just like in the movie, he would tell people exactly how they needed to behave. It wasn't an experiment to see, let's see how they behave. He would tell them, hey, you are a blue. You have to be exclusionary. You have to be an asshole. If you're caught talking to the oranges, you'll get in trouble. I'll have people walking around to rat you out. So just like with the wave, quote-unquote, experiment, it was already told, they were already told exactly what results he wanted out of the experiment. So they were, it wasn't an experiment. They were acting, they were role-playing. They were role-playing the roles that he wanted them to play. And threatened with bad grades if they didn't do it. And on top of that, he added gender to the mix. He told the men in the class that they had to curtsy and follow women around like a Japanese wife. And they had to cook for the women. And that the women were told to sexually harass the men. And because that would give you that also would give you like this this wonderful view of now you get what it's like to be a bitch. And, yeah.
Exactly. Well, what is a tech and what is a no-tech?
Tech is the female in this society and is a superior being in every way. No-tech is the males, and of course, they're inferior in this society. By that, we mean that they have to walk behind, sit behind, and in this term, we started having them, the no-techs or the males, have to curtsy to the females everywhere they find.
Yeah, because that's what it's like. That's what it's like being a woman. You're not allowed to talk. You have to sit behind the men and shut the fuck up and curtsy. Now, what fucking world does this guy live in? But ultimately, as you hear the interviews from these people that are participating in this mindfuck thing that he's doing at his college, it becomes clear relatively quickly what the actual intent is.
They want us to believe that the white dominant group is good and that they've gotten so far and they've done so much good for the country in this capitalist country, but they don't tell you who they stepped on to get there.
The white people are on top here, and it's in their best interest to lie to you, you know, and they say, okay, George Washington was a great guy, but we never knew he had slaves, you know. Abraham Lincoln liberated the blacks, or did he really? You know, is that
as the class progresses, deep-seated feelings surface regarding racism, classism, and sexism.
Okay, so now we really get what the experiment's about. It's about hating Whitey. It's about shitting on Whitey and coloring the history of Whitey as just a string of monstrous oppression, stepping on everyone else to achieve what they've achieved, all through the blood, sweat, and tears of non-whites that were somehow tricked or forced to be pack animals or worse for the whites that could never have achieved anything unless they were stepping on the heads of the non-whites. Kneeling on the necks of the George Floyds of the world. And then you wonder, gee, why is this guy aside from not being white himself, I kind of feel like he obviously has some kind of hatred for whites. I wonder if any of that will ever slip out. During this relatively short news piece that I watched, it's not really even a big sample. So it's funny to me that even this small sampling of him talking, that you're able to see it. You're able to see it.
Second, third week came around, you started associating the behavioral pattern that you were going to have towards that person according to the color you looked at the armband. And it became almost instinctive that you look at that color first and then know how to judge and how to act towards that person. Now remember that forever, because that's what happens in life. Except they don't look at an armband. They look at skin color or an accent.
Oh! So because you sound like Speedy Gonzalez when you talk, and people have made fun of your fucking gay-ass accent, you forever have a chip on your shoulder, and you created this whole thing as your own little revenge fantasy against the white people that you were trying to compete with, that you saw as oppressing you and making fun of your gay little fucking Speedy Gonzalez accent. That's 100% what this is all about. And it's funny because they kept doing this experiment all throughout California until eventually they got sued by a Mexican chick, well, her family. So they made the mistake of making one of the shit people a Mexican girl. And she went crying home to her parents, and they sued the school. And there was a pretty small settlement, but it basically shut down them doing this all throughout the state. But for years and years, they were doing this mindfuck to elementary school kids, middle school kids, and high school kids, and college kids all throughout the state of California. And that's in addition to all the other, like I said, wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling. You want to know why white people are self-hating cucks to some extent, generally speaking? This is why. This is what it took. If anything, it should at least give you, that should give you a little bit of encouragement. Is this the kind of shit that it took? This is the kind of shit that it takes to do that to a people. And they did it. With the boomers' permission, they did it. With the boomers' participation, they did it. Now, the bad news is, like I said, it took basically a century of this kind of shit to go from the Supreme Court ruling in favor of segregation to get to this point where Now that's unbelievable. Now the Supreme Court's ruling against deportation. I mean, that's what you have to undo. And it's going to take another, I mean, if it even gets done, which is, that's not a given by any means. I'm saying best case scenario, we got like another century of undoing this shit. Potentially. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like that might be how long it takes. Once you ruin a kid with this kind of mind poison, some kids can snap out of it. But not really if it really took. See, with me, I went through a lot of this stuff, and I don't know if I was just kind of, I mean, I don't think I was unique, because I feel like I had friends that were similar in this way, to where we were subjected to this anti-white stuff. And we never internalized it. We always were like, this is fucking bullshit. It was never that big of a deal to us, because I think, you know, myself included, we were all kind of reveling, at least, in the fantasy of the Star Trek fantasy, where, okay, well, you know, ultimately, you know, it'll be a multicultural world, but Whitey will still be in charge. Captain Picard will still be the captain, right? Captain Kirk is still a white guy. You know, the president's always going to be white. You know, the white people will always be the ones calling the shots. And I don't think a lot of white people even really snapped out of that until Obama. You know, I think that was a wake-up call to a lot of people. I think that seemed really implausible to a lot of people, that you would have a non-white president. And while some people celebrated it, people you wouldn't even I had friends that were swept up in this shit that I never would have thought would be swept up in, like, the idea, because and foolishly, because they thought, well, now black people won't be able to complain. I heard that from several white people. Oh, it's actually the silver lining of the Obama administration will be that black people will finally stop complaining, because it'll be proof that you could be anything. You could be president. They really believed that. That's how much they wanted to believe the fantasy. But the smart people, the smart people were just like, that's not good. Like, I remember even telling someone, explicitly, and this is before I was like comfortable with my racism, I was like, I was kind of hoping that the country would still be too racist to elect that guy. And I'm a little surprised that we weren't. Like, I'm a little disappointed that we let this happen. Now, again, at that time, I was not feeling the existential threat that I think we all feel now. But I was beginning to. I was beginning to realize, maybe we're not going to live in the Star Trek future with, you know, Picard and Riker calling the shots, and maybe we got some weird black guy with a mutilated head named Worf or something, you know, and whatever, right? Maybe we even have like some blind black guy as the engineer. I mean, as implausible as that sounds, it's retarded, but, you know, whatever, we'll give it to him, right? We'll humor the retard, let him think that they can be that guy. But not so much. Not so much. Thanks to people like this. That's right, children. Where's the cool Chad guy? We're going to leave him on the screen up. Let me do the hyper chats. The real role model in this whole... There we go. There's the model white guy. The one that's not afraid to just be a white guy and doesn't give a fuck what anyone thinks. That's one thing white people need to understand. They don't give a shit what you think. Why do you give a shit what they think? I mean, unless it's out of some like pussy, like you're afraid of what they might do. Okay, and yeah, that's maybe valid. But if that's, you know, in terms of like your fear, it's not like you shouldn't be concerned about violence, right? But if that's the new reality, then you just need to be prepared for that. The answer isn't, therefore, I don't say anything. The answer is, therefore, I prepare myself for the inevitable violence. So that I don't have to walk around like a second-class citizen because I don't possess, you know, the tarred strength of the black man. Now, I tweeted out the other day, which surprisingly, I think last time I looked, it has 20,000 likes. I said, it was a rhetorical question, by the way. I was surprised by people are like, oh, you should know the answer to this, Devin. It's like, yeah, obviously I know the answer to it. But, retard? Like, obviously I know. But I asked the question, I said, why is it that everyone's just now figuring out that the majority of black people are just retards with retard strength and retard ethics? And it was funny because a lot of people also didn't know what I meant by retard strength. They're like, oh, you're trying to say black people are strong, white people are weak? And it's like, no, it's retard strength is the strength that you see when you watch a black guy get fucking tased and he just keeps going. He just keeps fucking going. Not because he's like strong, but because just like retards, he doesn't feel pain like a normal person. Because pain is not just like retards don't have, it's not like they don't have pain receptors, right? Retards feel pain, but that's where it stops. Like there's no thought process, right? Like for example, if you're a retard and you stick your hand in the fire and you feel the pain of the fire, like that's where it stops. You don't think to yourself, well, hold on, if I ignore this pain, my fingers will burn off. And fingers don't grow back. And so I'll just have like this burning nub as a hand. Like that's already beyond any thought process a retard's going to have. Right? And that's really the power of tard strength. Is they don't, it's stage one thinking. It's just, ow. Like that's all. Ow. It's not, ow. Oh, I don't want my arm to be dislocated. It's not, ow, I don't want to have a heart attack because I'm getting tased by four different tasers. You know, it's not, ow, I don't want to like be shot by this cop because I attack him. You know, it's just ow. That's the source of tarred strength. And that's unfortunately what you're dealing with black people, is they don't think it beyond just the ow. And anyone can withstand the ow. It's the think about the further repercussions of that ow that stops the white man, that stops the civilized person from, maybe I should, I mean, I could technically endure more pain in this situation, but, you know, I'm thinking a couple steps ahead, and I'm realizing that this could go bad, like in permanent ways, ways that are way more permanent than this momentary pain that I'm feeling now. Blacks don't have that. A lot of blacks don't have that. They're just like, ow, and they just keep going. Like fucking psycho robots. Like tarred bots. Anyway, let's take a look at entropy, shall we? Now that it's officially Easter, by the way, it's been Easter for about 15 minutes. So happy Easter, everybody. And let's take a look here. Oh, we start off with a big dono from Mr. Me. Mr. Me with the big dono. And my big dono button's not working. Here we go.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right, Mr. Me. Thank you, Bigly, for that support. Mr. Me says, Dunno system has changed. Get your nuts out and support the insomnia stream. Well, there you go. Listen to the man. I appreciate that, Mr. Me. And a great way to start off the hyper chats there. And Easter, I guess, right? Well, thank you very much, Mr. Me. Next up, we got Gorilla Hands. This is not working. My buttons are not working. There we go. I moved some files around. I wonder if I screwed some shit up. I think I probably did. I'll have to look into that after the show. Anyway, Gorilla Hand says, judging by the title of this stream, I'm assuming that you, just like most people in our sphere, are getting ready for what seems to be inevitable, a civil war in the West. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it's inevitable, but I think that's something you should always be prepared for, and then you don't have to worry about it. I sadly think that, like I was saying earlier, that it's more going to be like a slow reverse engineering project for many of us, right? I think that while some... Here's something you got to realize, too. I think Jews are really feeling the heat. I think Jews are really feeling the heat, and they are welcoming any heat directed towards other groups. And if that's black people, then who cares? They don't care. They would much rather you be upset and angry about the black people in your society than the people that unleash them. They want you to be angry about the symptom of the problem so that you don't actually try to cure the disease, but rather you treat the symptom. I don't know that we are anywhere near especially not with Trump in office. That's what I was saying. With Trump in office, think of how different things would have gone down. With Kamala Harris as president. Same situation. Black kid stabs a white kid in the heart. As with Trump president, he doesn't say anything. He says literally nothing. Doesn't talk about white people. Doesn't say white people. He's too busy deporting anti-Semites. And nobody else, really. Versus if you had Kamala, she would have sided with him, obviously, and really pissed off white people even more. If you are looking for a situation where people are feeling a level of desperation that leads to kinetic activity, you don't want Trump as president. But que sera, sera, right? Purple Sage. And the button doesn't work. Speaking of retard. I gotta double punch this button, apparently. Purple Sage says, thank you, Mr. Stack. I do actually enjoy seeing how the show title that you've selected works out over the course of an episode. Thank you for all your hard work. Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, that's, I'm not going to change the way I'm doing it. I know I've had people that complain that want that. And it's like, you know what? That's just not for you. You know, like this is a long form show. And if you're not willing to put the time in to listen to the show, then yeah, like the it's not for you. I mean, there's lots of other shows that are let's talk about these five things that were trending on Twitter today. You know, there's lots of that shit, and you can go watch that stuff. That's fine, whatever. Don't get me wrong, it's sometimes annoying to myself when I want to find an old stream. I get it. But, yeah, I'm okay with it. Plus, Simbi made that search engine. I tried to find the video game that he made on his website. It's not linked, obviously. So, but I've yet to play that, Simbi, if you're out there. Thank you there, Purple Sage. Next up, we got Mark Espy says, I think we need a deep dive into community relations service. It's the government agency that tells grieving parents to go in front of the camera to say, let's not make this about race. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I still think it's cucked if you do it. I don't care if some fed, if my kid got killed and some fed was like, no, don't make this about race. I'd be like, fuck you. Like, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to threaten me? My kid's dead. I don't care. Go ahead. Threaten me. I'm not in a good space right now. My kid's dead. Okay. Threaten me and see what happens. See what fucking happens. But yeah, I don't know that you could do a whole stream on it. I don't know. Maybe there's more to it, more meat to that bone than I'm aware of, but yeah, that's, yeah. It's just, you're still a cuck if you let the feds convince you to sell your kid out. Man of low moral fiber says, quit paying attention to the father whose son was stabbed by a nigger. That father may not be a physical nigger, but he is a nigger of the spirit. We'll see now that he got kicked out of the press conference, right? We'll see if he comes around. I don't think so, though. Hammer of Thorzing.
Hello.
Everybody worked on the first try.
Hello.
Some of these are broken, apparently. Hammer of Thorzing says, I went down an AI rabbit hole about nuclear war, assuming the top 30 metro areas get hit, along with strategic military targets. All states go red aside from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, and Hawaii. Oh, you're saying that every military target is a red state? Sorry, I had to cough there. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Bases are usually in red states. I don't know. I'm away from, well, everything really, but I'm away from every target, or at least safely enough to where I'd be fine. And I don't think too much about it, but yeah, it's probably something to think about if you know, things heat up. I don't know who'd be nuking us though. I'm sure there's lots of people that would like to nuke us. There's just not a lot of people that would like to nuke us that have the ability to nuke us. So. I don't worry too much about that. But, yeah. And then Hammer of Thorzine again says, New York, Illinois, California became battleground states. Also, blacks and Asians dropped by 50%, Hispanics by 34%, whites are over 75% of those who remain. Sad this might be our most realistic hope in the short term. Okay, so you're saying that if the high population centers took some nukes, that it would actually be there could be some silver linings, shall we say? Yeah. I mean, probably. Yeah. But again, I think it's outside the realm of probability. Thought Criminal says, I was really sad to hear about Bill Monaghan. I was hoping it wasn't true, but I found his obituary. It's always sad when one of our brothers dies. Happy Easter, Devin. I'll catch the replay. Yeah. Well, I didn't find the obituary, but I don't want to like doc. Well, it doesn't matter. Maybe I should look it up. See what he died of. Let's see here. Well, that would have been this year. I'm not finding it. Maybe we'll look into it. I don't want to sit here and just be searching on the internet for hours, but yeah, it's a shame. He was a good guy. I DM'd him. We talked in DMs a little bit, and he was a good guy. He was a good sport and a supporter of the show too. And yeah, we lost a real one. Every single time with a big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right, we got every single time. Says, Happy Easter, Devin. Long time listener, first time caller. Thanks for all you do and for keeping at it all these years. Well, I appreciate that every single time. And, it's thanks to support from viewers like you. And, in fact, speaking of which, you double dipped every single time again.
Children, today we'll be reading the best Christmas ever. Our story begins with
The Magic Negro.
Christmas tree on
Christmas.
Where did the snowman go?
All right, every single time with the double big donos, and says payback, or no, back pay. Am I dyslexic now all of a sudden? Back pay. I've been freeloading longer than I'd like to admit. Well, the first step to facing a problem is admitting that you have one. And you've more than done that. So I appreciate that every single time. Thank you for the big support. And it really does mean a lot. I definitely appreciate that. All right. And then we got Macy says, I've been promoting segregation all week. Good job for your show. Well, I appreciate that. And look, I see it being... It's being talked about in a lot of different venues, in a lot of different circles. It's not the third rail that it used to be. There are people with bigger platforms than mine, with more listeners than I've got, that are talking about this stuff now, and it's... You know, it's, I'm telling you, I don't know that we'll realistically get it, but, we certainly won't get it with that attitude. So we gotta keep pushing. We gotta keep pushing and we gotta keep normalizing it. In fact, I was happy to see Jared Taylor was pushing eugenics. Like, I guess he's putting the pedal down a little bit too. He's like, fuck it. We got people talking about segregation. All right. Next on the menu. Eugenics. So, and he brought up Shockley, which, by the way, check out the stream, which was recommended by Jared Taylor at one point, from what I understand. Shockley edition is a great overview of William Shockley and his eugenic views. But good job there, Macy. And then we have Hugh Watt. Says there's too much ego involved in the pro-white sphere. They'll either go back to Republican cuck shit like Patriot Front, get subverted, destroy themselves, or get taken down by fellow whites with egos. Well, I didn't know Patriot Front is just turning to Republicans. I haven't kept up with them lately, or really anything lately. I've been so busy with stuff. Get subverted, destroy themselves, or I don't know. Like, look. Right now, unfortunately, there's a power vacuum. And so it's left up to people who really did not see this line of work as what myself included. I didn't think I'd be doing this. This is not what I had. This is not what I had planned for my life. And it's born more out of a responsibility than out of, you know, some passion. I mean, obviously I'm passionate about our people, but like, I wanted to make like movies and animations and, you know what I mean? Like I wanted to do entertainment. I didn't want to have to worry about this. It's just that there is a power vacuum, and not just a power vacuum. There's been a talent vacuum, because the people with talent, unfortunately, a lot of them are driven by money, just like everybody, or not everybody, but like a lot of people. And the money is not in what we do. You know, the money is not in what I do. I mean, you guys are very generous. I'm not saying, you know, that's not what I mean. But what I mean is, like, I was offered myself, even in the early days when I was first doing this kind of content, when it was more like pro-Trump content, when I was just trying to get Hillary defeated. It was before we knew what a spectacular failure Trump was going to be. It was in the beginnings of when I was starting to realize what a spectacular failure Trump was going to be. But I had opportunities to make a lot more money by not talking about things that the people who make a lot of money don't talk about, right? And I was like, no thanks. And so unfortunately, that's like an outlier kind of a thing. So you end up with people who are actual ideologues. And some of them are narcissists, and some of them are... Because you have to, well, unfortunately, to withstand the kinds of to do this kind of work, you have to have a little bit of that in you. You do. And that's myself included. I mean, who am I? I'm just some guy. But I think, like, well, people want to hear what I have. I'm important enough to where people want to hear what I have to say. You know, there's a little bit of that in me. There it has to be, right? And there's a lot of it in some other people. And that's just, that's the nature of the beast. And unfortunately, until there is actual power behind our movement, and meaning people that have resources and money and a hierarchy starts to form, it is going to be pretty chaotic. It's going to be a lot of people trying to one-up each other. And unfortunately, that's the other thing, too, is that whenever there's a power vacuum, it sometimes draws people in who don't really give a shit about what it is, but they sense the power vacuum and see, like, an opportunity for power. And so you get a lot of those types coming in where they don't actually care about white people, or, you know, maybe that might be going... Maybe that's a little harsh, but I mean, that's not maybe what necessarily motivates them so much as they're motivated by the possibility of power or influence or, you know, whatever it is. And some of it's just that it's amateurs. Like, and I would include myself in that too. It's like, we don't know what we're doing all the time, you know? Like I said, this isn't the line of work I was expecting to go into. And now that I'm doing that, it's like you're learning. You don't know. Like, people are always asking you, like, oh, what should we do? And I'm like, I don't know. I wish I did know. I'll let you know when I figure something out. Like, that's all I do, is let you know when I figure things out. But that's the other thing too. Some of it's not intentional. It's just that you got a lot of people who maybe they do feel strongly and their heart's in the right place, and they just, you know, this is not. They're just not good leaders naturally, or they're just not, you know, or maybe they're driven, their passions are steering how they go about things more than their reason is, you know, which is understandable. But that said, it's just, I think this is just how it is until you start to, I feel like we've moved the needle way more honestly than I expected. And so I don't have a defeatist attitude in that way. And you'll have people come and go. You'll have influencers, quote unquote, come and go. You'll have movements or sub movements come and go. But then you'll have, you know, like, look how long Jared Taylor's been doing this. Speaking of Jared Taylor, he's been doing this shit since before a lot of us were even alive, and certainly before almost all of us were even aware of the situation that we're in to the degree that he was talking about it as early as like the 80s and 90s. So, I wouldn't say that, you know, he's self-destructed or, you know, spiraled out because of ego or, you know what I mean? Like, so there's going to be people that have staying power and make a lasting, improvement in our lives and in our destiny. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Like I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't even, it's funny. Cause like, you know, people call me blackpilled, but it's like, I'm not blackpilled on our survival. I'm blackpilled just on, you know, the normies, quote unquote, waking up. That's not going to happen, or at least not anytime soon. And then Hugh Watt also says, bottom line, we will become like Brazil as the ego fags and white nationalism without any power argue amongst themselves. That's a possibility. That's a possibility. All we can do is hope that's not what happens, but that's a very good possibility. Man of low moral fiber says, quit ordering lettuce. The beaners use it as toilet paper. Just search for lettuce E. coli, and you get a result from every year where the stupid nacho Negroes spread disease. Is that where it really comes from? I guess it could. We need robots picking lettuce. Coincidence says, I look forward to the replay. Your streams covering the failures of integration are great content. Public schools dogmatically push MLK on kids as if he preaches the gospel. An episode on all his infidelity, drunkenness, and Jewish handlers would be great. Yeah, we might have to do a deep dive on MLK at some point. Especially if they ever... Weren't they going to release more FBI? I mean, obviously we know they're not going to really release the FBI stuff that they have on him, but it would be nice if they released a little bit more. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, even in their propaganda, they can't help but make Negro women absolutely intolerable cunts. Yes. That's right. Some guy says, part of the PSYOP was to make people think that blacks are poor because they were born in the ghetto. Or drew an orange card, not because of their behavior, or because of their genetics, for that matter. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, one thing that the gooks don't seem to realize is that the internment camps were set to protect them. If they were walking around, some of them would surely have been attacked, or at least I'd hoped so. Well, no, it wasn't to protect them, really. I mean, I guess that's a silver lining you could say, but it was to protect us, and I'm okay with that. White Tiger Kingdom. White Tiger Kingdom with a happy Bigfoot Easter. Well, I appreciate that. Megumim just got home from an anime convention. I saw more trannies in one day than I've seen my entire life previously. Maybe you guys are right about anime. Why does it attract these damaged people? I am right about anime. And like I said, not everyone that watches anime is a tranny, but every tranny watches anime. And I think anime directly triggers tranniness in some men. I think it does. And so just, but I'm glad you're just noticing. I'm glad, you know, just I would never go to an anime convention, and but that's fully what I would expect to see if I did. Sharpshooter says, "Hey Devin, I'm so sick of the slavery narrative and hearing Negroes complain. They should go back to Africa if it's so bad in the West. We as the West already sunk trillions in this continent." This is true. Trillions in a black hole. These Negroes will never evolve like rabid dogs. And best would be to put them down. Well, come on. Come on. Well, I'll settle for, you know, free plane tickets to the Congo. Bessemer.
Get a load of this.
Bessemer. Hi, Devin. Thank goodness racism is solved. Thanks to the Jews. It's true. It is true. And in fact, you know, I was trying to find... I was trying to find something the other day. Let me see if I can find it. Would it be in this one? Oh yeah, I think this might be it. Bear with me one moment here, guys. Sorry. I'm directly addressing the Hyperchat. Here we go. Oh, I gotta wait for it to... I'm gonna wait for my slow space internet. There we go. There we go. This is an oldie but goodie.
Go out there and face the hate and end it once and for all.
Good thing we went back to the 90s. Good thing we went back to the 90s. There's no more racism in the 90s. We went back down to the 90s. 1990 to 1999. Before 9/11 even. Now there's no racism and everything is good. The 90s. 90s.
I like black people a lot. My friends basically think that I'm black at heart. Really? I'm a graduate student here, but yeah. In fact, I have a rap. My name is Mop, and I want to be black. The pigmentation's the only thing I like. I want to relax and just do some sass. I'm taking care not to make a mess. Then the chorus goes, "That Mop, he think he black." Anyway,
that guy's everybody yeah, so good on, living on, in this on hood, the you know? Internet saying, we need to go back to the 90s before there was racism. That's them. Just so you know. That's that's how I see them when they talk. But yes, it is solved, Bessemer. A thin red line... Why is it? There we go. Saying happy birthday to everyone's favorite uncle. May his spirit soon, or wait, may his spirit soon? Soon what? May his spirit soon. You didn't say what? We need him badly.
Heil Hitler, bitch!
Well, there you go. Thin red line. Hammer of Thorzine.
Good gorilla. Good gorilla.
I meant the listed states would be moved sharply right after nukes. Leftist nons would be take the vast majority of the damage. Between that and demographic changes, there surely is a silver. We didn't really clear anything up there. This is you just we're confused. No, I get what you mean. Yeah, population centers. Look, even if. Because here's the problem is, even in red states, the population centers are not red. I mean, everyone likes to say how based Idaho is, for example, right? Oh, based Idaho. Let's move to based Idaho. And then you go to Boise, and it's like, yeah, super fucking based Boise. like lefty fucking central Boise. The whole government's lefty. And that's everywhere. Like there's maybe there's a couple states that aren't like that, but that's generally speaking, population centers are where the parasites go. Because that's where the money is. And so that's what you end up with. And look, it's, I was going to say it's fun to think about. I don't know if it's fun to think about, but it's interesting to think about the possibilities that would open up. Let's just put it that way. Man of low moral fiber says, yes, when beaners talk about doing the jobs others won't do, what they are doing is wiping their ass with lettuce they're packing. Paid by weight, wouldn't you know? New outbreak last week. Well, I always wondered how, vegetables had E. coli, but I guess that would make some kind of sense there. All right, let's go over to Rumble. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's going to take a little bit of time here, because I guess you guys were really talking your ears off over at Rumble. All right. How do I hide this real quick? Okay. Oh, we got a huge, massive super dono from Dyslexic 1844. Massive, super giant dick dono from Dyslexic 1844. How much, you might ask?
$500,000.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is.
Heil Hitler, bitch.
Well, thank you very much there, Dyslexic 1844. You say, thanks for all you do, and happy birthday to our dear uncle. Well, I appreciate that, and so does our dear uncle. But yeah, very, very generous of you. I really appreciate that. That's very helpful there. So all big respect in chat for Dyslexic 1844. Mick Not Cool says, just want to thank you for giving all of us that complain about your non-descriptive titles a shout-out last stream. I lolled, thanks, and happy Easter. There you go. I don't know if when it does these twice, if that's Rumble fucking up or it's my thing fucking up. Corsica says, happy Easter, Devin. Have you ever seen the 1962 movie Pressure Point? It's another one of those Sidney Poitier movies where he's a psychiatrist trying to fix a Nazi. It's ridiculous. Well, that sounds ridiculous, but it also sounds like something that they would make. And no, I have not seen it. I will add that to the notes. That sounds pretty funny. A black psychiatrist fixing a Nazi. That's like a Jewish dream, fever dream. Ooh, well, let's see who made the movie. Is it 1962? Let's see here. Well, screenplay by possible Jew. His last name's Cornfield. That sounds fake. Well, he's Turkish. But I think a Turkish Jew. I don't, not positive on that. There's not a lot of info on him, but the info that there does exist, there's all of his associates were Jewish. says that he was American film, blah, blah, blah. He was born in Istanbul, Turkey. Billy Wilder, William Wyler, and Joseph L. Mankiewicz all signed his Directors Guild of America application. So he was a bunch of Jews got him in there. Produced by Stanley Kramer, who's a Jew. And what? Who? United Artists put it out. Made less than $1 million. That might be worth checking out. All right. We got Evergreen Dream says, happy Easter and happy birthday to a certain mustached Austrian painter. Also, RIP to a certain basket weaving forum that became so oversaturated by feds, it should have been mercy killed years ago. Yeah, I've heard... I haven't gone to that forum, you know, more than even a tiny bit over the last few years, just because it became so obviously garbage. But I've heard the recent news of where the stats, the countries that were posting on that forum, and yeah, that made sense to me. Evergreen Dream says, I said you should be on Blood Satellite last stream, but forgot to mention that Dimes has said that you are mutuals on Twitter and that he'd love to have you on his stream not long ago. Well, there you go. Yeah, have him DM me or whatever. Or maybe he has. I haven't checked my DMs in a little bit. I'll take a look. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. Corsica says, happy Easter, Devin. Have you ever seen the 19... Wait, why is this one again? Yeah, see, I can't tell if this is Rumble fucking up or what's going on here. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Scroll, 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 scroll. I liked it when that plugin used to work sometimes. Ghost Dog Man says, there was a White Lives Matter rally in Texas. And Mr. Cucked Medcalf was pissed. Yeah, well, that and unfortunately, until his generation dies, that's where we're at. That's where we're at, and it won't die with him. It just a lot of it will die with him, because people like him are like the guy on the screen that is, you know, I bet he had the orange armband in high school. Based officer Jeremias says, while on a recent road trip, my 6-year-old daughter, whose school is 5-10% black, says from the back seat, the dark-skinned kids at my school are annoying. I shed a single proud tear. Yeah, well, it doesn't take long, right? A little bit of pattern recognition. Nice to hear that your kid is probably higher than average IQ. And then you say, even at 6 years old, she's starting to notice. Well, that I told you, she's tested at 140 IQ in kindergarten. That's actually really good, especially for a girl. So she is noticing earlier. Her comment eased the conversation of telling her to be nice but careful around them. Yeah, especially if you're smarter. If you're a smarter person, that seems to piss them off even more. It does. It just does. Because it's incomprehensible to them. Like, you can't, they almost feel like you're, when you try to communicate, I've had this happen, where when I was a kid, you try to communicate rationally with the dumb, violent kid, and you get the sense, they think I'm insulting them by just trying to communicate with them, because what I'm saying is incomprehensible to them, because they're that fucking dumb. You know what I mean? So you have to be extra careful. But 140 is great. Yeah, good for her. And good for you. Brissinger says, happy Easter. I mean, happy Hitler's birthday. Have a nice day. Well, I appreciate that. Tyler W05 says, whites naturally have in-group preference. I can give plenty examples of kids noticing things. When my cousin was young, he asked me why the brown kids are mean. Now he's been brainwashed. Yeah, that's the thing, is probably what happened is he might have asked that question to the wrong person and then was given the white guilt treatment. I realized this early on. I went to a very diverse school and realized right away that all the kids that weren't white were mean, or, you know, in comparison. That they were all mean, and they all had something. They all seemed to, like, have some bitterness and that I couldn't understand. And it was always something I observed. And I think smarter kids pick up on that, because smarter kids are less likely to just inhale the propaganda uncritically. Excuse me. If you're a smarter kid, you're susceptible to it, but just like with even when your parents are telling you their propaganda, telling you what to think and stuff, you're going to approach it critically, and you're going to apply a stress test to the information and the guidance. And whereas, like, midwit and below kids, just, you know, they just slurp it up. They eat it up. They drink the milkshake. Tyler W05.
When you're trying to save money, a good rule to follow is to. Take it from me, Jim Neighbors. It'll pay dividends.
All right. Tyler W05. When I was young, I can remember thinking they stink. Who's the who? And I've never seen my 1.5-year-old daughter be reluctant to interact with them. Anyway, stay safe and keep up the great work, Mr. Stack. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, the thing is, with your kids, you got to warn them about it, but it's like when my parents told me about weed and they just made shit up. They just made it sound ridiculous, because I had friends that smoked pot, and I was like, that's not what it is. That's not, they don't know what they're talking about. So suddenly I was like, well, I can't really trust their opinion on pot then. I guess I can smoke it, because they don't know what they're doing. They've never smoked it. They don't know what this is about. Whereas if they'd been more realistic about their reasons why you shouldn't do it, I might have listened. And same thing with anything you tell your kids. Kids are smart. If you're hyperbolic about it, they're going to be like, oh, well, dad doesn't know what he's talking about. This, I met a black kid. They're not all evil, you know. This one's nice. Therefore, the whole rule is wrong. It's like, Ghost Dog Man says, D5, or is D short for Devin? 5 months ago, your test subject edition, I didn't watch half of it because I lived it. My black teacher showed roots to my class, and directly after that class, three angry black males attacked. TN separation? Is that Tennessee separation? Or total Negro separation? I grew up with every social studies, is what we called it. Every social studies class, every year, all throughout elementary through middle school, was about how evil white people were. Like, that was pretty much every year. It wasn't all, like, every day, but it was every year. It was pretty heavily part of the curriculum. Ghost Dog Man again says, whites won't work Mexican jobs because Mexicans are in those jobs. No self-respecting white male wants to associate with Mexicans. They poison the bottom rungs. Well, like I said, if they didn't hire them, the wages would go up. They'd have to. Because, someone's got to pick the cotton or whatever, right? So, but instead, they'd rather get the slave wages and increase their own profits. And, unfortunately, that's just the way that our country has operated since the beginning. You know, that's why we ended up with slaves. That's why we have black people, because a handful of rich people thought they could save some money that way. And it's fucked us ever since. Rupert says, good night, Professor Stack. Gonna catch a replay. See you on Wednesday. Well, there's Rupert the Jeep. And hopefully he Maybe he low key hates us too, but I don't know. maybe someday he'll freak out on us. Scroll. Red Pilled says, thanks, Devin. Always quality deprogramming. Well, I appreciate that. That's a good way to put it. Deprogramming. This is like deprogramming. The Shogun says, hail Christ Jesus, hail Uncle A. May their spirits endow me with the patience I need to refrain from trying to start the race war. I don't think it's up to you, but just always be prepared, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's not a war we would lose. I'll tell you, if for no other reason, that's probably why it won't happen, is because everyone knows that's not a war we would lose. Gravy Bear says, I know you don't like links, but if you type this into YouTube, you'll be astounded by how race-based the public in 62, or the public was in 62. I think I've played this clip before. I think I know what you're talking about. I'll add it to my notes. I'll check it out after the show, but I think I've played this before. Where they're interviewing, it's like man on the street stuff in Australia, and they're talking about how they don't. Well, I mean, like, it used to be in the Australian Constitution, I think, right, that you were explicitly a white country. And somehow that got undone. Demand says, hey, Dev, had the displeasure of me in my car getting ganged up on and cursed at by yard apes today on my job when I honked at them for being in the way at the parking lot. So continuing my story, my car is okay, and so am I. I'm on guard at this location all the time, but I'm starting to get tired of dealing with you-know-who. I gotta make my exit somehow. Is there a third part to that? No? Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, just don't put yourself in danger for someone else's property. If it's, you know, I don't know, if it sounds like you work security somewhere. It's, unless the pay is that good, I wouldn't want to work security somewhere where I thought I was going to die because, you know, someone was, you know, for what? Like, I don't know what you're guarding, but I doubt it's, like, worth dying for. So if it's that dangerous of a situation, you know, I don't know, get transferred somewhere else. I don't know what you can do. I don't know what your options are, but don't put yourself unnecessarily in a dangerous situation. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. It's especially because it's for someone else's stuff. That would be my advice. Based 1483 says Obama went to Occidental also, went to Occidental, period. Also, I dated a white chick student there, and we split because they brainwashed her on abortion, race, and God. She wouldn't shut up about hating Trump. It's a shame. Yeah, well, just college-educated women are typically a no-no. You can look out every once in a while, but once women go through that machine, it's very predictable what comes out on the other side. Ghost Dog Man says, remember everyone, it's all 92% of them against 8% of us. At the end of the day, it's true. Yeah, I guess that sounds about right. We'd still win. Based 1483 says, I met her when she barely got in Occidental, and she was actually giving Christianity a try. A year in, and she was a typical leftist. They totally changed her, and now she's a foot soldier for them. Well, that's what those institutions are for. That's 100% what they're for. Ghost Dog Man says, them prostrating bleeps always do this shit after a national racial chimp-out pushback strife moment. They always want to bravado us into submission. Had a B-check out our checkout guy standing his base with me. had a B checkout guy. I don't know what that means. Well, yeah. You got to stay safe out there, though. You know, don't take unnecessary risks. We all know what low impulse control can lead to. The Shogun says this one is from More Burger. More Burger. Okay. And then this, here's To the Heat. I thought that was the same guy. So the Shogun says this one's for More Burger. Decimal Threat, who followed right after you and got the same color of thing for some reason, says here's To the Heat. There you go. The heat of the desert. It's not hot yet. It's getting there, though. D-Man says, oh, and happy Easter, Devin. Well, I appreciate that. Happy Easter to everyone out there. And then, of course, Negro Spritzer discusses briefly his feelings about the blue armband fellas featured in tonight's show. The types of people who wrote the novel and consequently the screenplay and produced the show that we watched. The let's see here, the taco and egg roll variety people that were featured, as well as some people who were not featured in tonight's feature, such as those from the kinds of people the English people would describe as Asians. There we go. that encompasses a lot of people for some reason. Not sure why they do that. All right, guys, let me double check back at Entropy. Looks like we're good. All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate the support. You guys were very generous tonight, and I hope you do have a good Easter with your family, and I hope that you are all staying safe, especially those working jobs that can put you in danger. No job is worth losing your life over, so don't put yourself in a place that's dangerous like that. There's nothing to be gained for it unless they're paying you in gold bars or something like that. In the meantime, try to spend tomorrow with your families. Good luck in the Easter egg hunts. And in the meantime, for Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stagg.
Coming to see you all tonight.
The Easter Bunny.
Yep. Look at your pretty eggs.
Mommy, can we get the bell?
No, don't bother me. They're still grand.